Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus moved about within Galilee. He did not wish to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. But the Jewish Feast of the Tabernacles was near. When his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not openly, but as it were in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, "Is he not the one they are trying to kill? Look, he's speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could the authorities have realized that he is the Christ? But we know where he's from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." So Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, "You know me and also know where I am from? I did not come on my own, but the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him. And he sent me." So they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand upon him because his hour had not yet come. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mark a transition today in the readings. We're in the second phase of Lent, which is all geared toward catechumenate, preparing the elect for baptism and all of us to renew our baptismal promises. We've had lots of images of water. Now we start to get the transition to the reality of baptism, which is suffering. Jesus sanctified the waters of baptism through his own baptism of blood. And we're starting to see that transition toward the explicit prophecies of what Jesus himself would accomplish on Calvary. When the early church was preparing adults for baptism, somebody was not permitted to be baptized until he was ready to be martyred. That was the precondition. It was not that they had to memorize the catechism. They weren't even taught the Our Father until after they were baptized. But they had to know that Christ died for them and they needed to be willing to die for him. That was the precondition. And a lot of people, being honest and humble, recognized they weren't at that stage yet. So they continued. But the catechumenate was a preparation to receive God's strength so that precisely they would be willing in little things and in big to die for him who out of love died for them. And we see so many who in the early church went from baptism to martyrdom like that, including in the presence of the great former Swiss Guard Mario Wenzler today. So many soldiers. Saint Sebastian would be one when seeing the Christians die with serenity, entered, and himself was martyred. And there are many others, the Chinese martyrs, where one was accompanying in 1816 Bishop Dufresne as he was being pummeled along the way, and he had just seen nobody suffer like that man. It was a 600-mile journey. And at the end, he was tortured and killed. But he forgave his persecutors. And afterward, he just tried to find out what made this man different. At first, people thought he was a spy. He says, "I'm not doing it. I'm not going to turn you in. Please tell me what this man's secret was." And they led him to the waters of baptism eventually. And he said, "Who's going to continue doing what he was doing? We're rounding up all the priests. Who's going to give the sacraments?" He said, "We don't know. We're praying." He says, "Well, what does one have to do to become a priest?" "Well, you have to go to Macau to be trained." Macau was my recollection is 1,600 miles away. So off he went as a neophyte. He returned 6 months later. They were not going to give him a full seminary formation because there was a need for priests just to hear confessions and celebrate Mass and prepare people for martyrdom. And he returned. He ministered for about a month. He was betrayed. And he himself went on that long walk he had previously accompanied Bishop Dufresne on. So from the time that he hadn't even thought about being a Christian to the time he was baptized to his diaconal and priestly ordination to his martyrdom was 9 months with two trips to Macau, a trip back and forth on foot to Macau. Extraordinary. We don't so much do that anymore because we like to soften the call of the cross. We like to eliminate a little bit that meaning that flows from baptism. But the Lord, knowing us, cares enough about us not to let us escape. I'm sure you were paying very close attention to the opening prayer. And there's a great irony in what we ask for today in preparation for the readings. It says, O God, who have prepared fitting help for us in our weakness, grant we pray that we may receive their healing effects with joy and reflect them in a holy way of life. God in our weakness knows that we're not going to choose the cross always on our own. And so he puts the cross right in front of us. And it's got a healing effect. But we need his grace to be able to receive it with joy and to let it become a real means of holiness for us, just like it has been for so many before us. Today in the gospel, we see how explicit they were about Jesus. Is he not the one they are trying to kill? It had already gone through all the crowds in that temple area. Everybody knew he was a marked man. And yet Jesus, with great courage, went on up to the Feast of the Tabernacles anyway. He was already enduring what the Book of Wisdom said in today's first reading, just ones would endure. This is one of the most powerful psychological passages in sacred scripture. You see it play out all the time, and if we live our vocations as Christians well, we will endure this. I see it play out in kindergarten classrooms with the teacher's pet. Just because the person's a good student and says yes to whatever the teacher asks, a lot of the times that one becomes a marked girl or a marked boy, teased, sometimes even verbally tortured by classmates because they can't stand someone who is good. We sometimes will experience, not just from those we expect, but also those we don't expect, the consequences of envy and the tests to which they will try virtue because they don't really believe it's possible because they have struggled so hard to live it. Let us beset the just one. He's obnoxious to us. He's not doing anything except the good, but he's still found obnoxious. He sets himself against our doings. No, he's not. But that's what they're thinking. Reproaches us for transgressions. Charges us with violations of our training. They had been trained. These were religious people thinking this way. To us, he himself is the very center of our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship. Why? Because his life is not like that of others. He really is, in a sense, consecrated, cut off from the filth in order to be with God. Different are his ways. He holds aloof from our paths as from things impure. So let us test him. Let us see whether his words be true. And then with the diabolical machination that we would see in the temptation against Jesus in the desert, let us put him to the test that we may have proof. Let's put him to a shameful death, for according to his words, God will take care of him. Jump off this pinnacle, for Scripture says he will not allow you to hit your heel against a stone. This is what was happening in those who were preparing to go after Jesus. And Jesus says, if they hated me, they'll hate you. But this is a healing remedy that we need to become more like Jesus. We don't look at it that way from our earthly eyes, but it is. That sometimes we need to, in order if we're going to identify with the Lord the most, we're going to identify him in his justice. We'll adjust to his ways. And others will find our ways obnoxious. Still in our culture, sisters, we know that that is what occurs. Mother Teresa is attacked by Christopher Hitchens because he just can't believe she's not doing it with a fallen motivation for vainglory. Charity is just not possible for you and your vocation. Just caring for those who are in troubled situations all the time. You're obnoxious to so many in our culture who just don't want to believe in goodness. Today, every one of us who lives chastely is mocked by those who are enslaved to the sexual revolution because they just can't tolerate someone who says you can be totally happy without caving on in to lust. Promise of poverty. Similarly to all those who worship the golden calf, they find it obnoxious. As we prepare to renew our baptismal promises at the Easter Vigil, the Lord wants to give us a greater entrance into this reality, into the suffering that comes with the faith, because that is a healing remedy that he wants us to accept with joy. So that union with the Lord will shine to others. This is the reason why the martyr's witness continues to inspire us to greater strength. Today, as we come forward and receive the Lord Jesus in Holy Communion, we recognize that this is the greatest contradiction to the ways of the world, to the scientism of the world. That we Catholics obnoxiously believe that what seems to be just bread and wine is actually God. We will start our day early worshiping him and receiving him. But the Lord knows the healing remedy we need. And each day he gives us himself as the medicine of immortality.